When I was in high school, the choir apparently has a commentary on when I was in high school. Yes, centuries ago when I was in high school, I was active in my parish church and especially in the youth group. And one spring Saturday in May, one of those years I was in high school, we went on a youth group retreat. We traveled to northern Massachusetts and climbed a mountain. Now, when I say a mountain, it was more like a high hill in the area. It wasn't an arduous climb, but that was good. We got up pretty quickly. But nonetheless, from the top of that hill, we had a nice view of the valley around, of the beauty of spring, of things turning green. And we spent the day on top of that mountain. There was no one else with us, just our youth group. And we had time together to talk, to pray, some time alone. We shared lunch together. And at the end of the day, we celebrated the Eucharist on a rock. When it was time to leave, I must confess, I didn't want to go. It had been an amazing day. It had really been a retreat. It had been a time of bonding for all of us together. It had been a time of worshiping God. And I thought, oh, if only we could stay here. But we couldn't. There was school on Monday. We had lives to go back to. The thing about retreats is they are wonderful. They are these kinds of, if you'll pardon the pun, mountaintop experiences. But we have to go back from them. And so in reading today's gospel, I have to say I have some sympathy for Peter, who I think doesn't quite know how to respond to what's happening in the scene. And his response is not quite exactly what Jesus, I think, is hoping for. But there's a way in which Peter, I think, is trying to capture that moment. A commentary I was reading this week described it as a desire to capture the holy. There's been this experience of holiness, this holy encounter on this mountaintop, and there's a desire to somehow hold on to that, to not let it go. Of course, they did descend that mountain, just as I did those many years ago. In our Transfiguration story in the Gospel today, it's an amazing story with the disciples seeing Jesus in a new way. Jesus takes them up the mountain to pray. He often, especially in Luke's Gospel, goes off and prays, and sometimes he takes some or all of the disciples with him. And while praying, he is transfigured. His face becomes dazzling white. His clothes become dazzling white. And then Moses and Elijah appear with him, also in glory, and they are talking. And what they're talking about is his departure to Jerusalem, that city where he is headed, where he will be killed, and on the third day be raised again. But as happens with disciples, they are sleepy. Though they stay awake enough to see what is happening. But of course they don't fully understand, and hence Peter's desire to build three booths and to enshrine that place and that moment. But then a voice comes, which must have been terrifying. A cloud enshrouds the mountain. In that cloud is this voice: "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." Jesus returns to normal, and they descend the mountain. Every year on this Sunday before Lent, the last Sunday after the Epiphany, we hear this account of the Transfiguration. And it makes sense. This season is one of how Jesus is made known. That baby born in Bethlehem, that child of Mary. In this season, we get to ask that question, who is he? And we experience these times in Scripture where his nature is revealed, where he is shown to be not just fully human, but also fully divine, the divine Son of God. And so our season began with the Feast of the Epiphany itself, when we hear the account of those magi, those three mysterious visitors from the East. And of course, they are Gentiles, saying that they have come to worship this one who is born not just for the house of Israel, but for all people, even for the Gentiles. And then the Sunday following, the baptism of Jesus, when Jesus goes to the River Jordan and the Holy Spirit descends bodily as a dove on him. And there's also a voice that says, "You are my son, the beloved." And then the Sunday following, we heard that story of the wedding at Cana in Galilee, where there's a shortage of wine, and Jesus has these jars filled, and it becomes the best wine. In some way signifying Jesus taking empty ritual practice and breathing new life into it. Again, showing him to be the Son of God. All these things reveal who Jesus is, and the Transfiguration continues that theme. In this account, the disciples get a glimpse of the resurrected Jesus, of his full nature as fully human and fully divine, of that nature he will fully reveal when he comes into glory. And even that voice declares that this indeed is God's Son. And so we come to the end of this season of manifestation and of showing forth, and we see who Jesus is, and we glimpse his glory, the glory that will come fully after the resurrection. But that's the rub. Before the resurrection can happen, the disciples must descend that mountain, and they must go to Jerusalem, the place where Jesus will be killed and will be raised from the dead. And Luke tells us just after this account that Jesus from this point on sets his face to Jerusalem. He knows he must go there. The disciples, however, don't understand and they don't want to hear that he will be killed. Even though this journey Jesus undertakes, because it will bring the people of God new life, resurrected life. It will destroy once and for all the power of sin and death. But it's only after Easter Day, and especially the day of Pentecost, that they come to fully understand this. And so I think it's intentional on the part of those who compiled the lectionary that we hear this reading on this day. Because this is the Sunday before Lent. And just as those disciples are making a journey on to Jerusalem with Jesus, so we are called to make a journey. To make a journey of a holy Lent. Now, I want to make my confession to you. When I was younger, I did not much appreciate Lent. It seemed awfully depressing. It seemed to focus on how sinful I am. It led to shame, to a sense of unworthiness. Its whole focus seemed to be about punishing ourselves. However, with my advanced age, I'm coming to understand Lent as a gift. As a time to find new ways to respond to God's call to move towards holiness. I'm seeing Lent as a time to take on those things that will actually draw us closer to God, or a time to cast off those things that alienate us from God, that draw us away from the love of God. And so when we gather this coming Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, the Book of Common Prayer will invite us to keep a holy Lent, and suggests we do this in several ways. The prayer book says, through self-examination and repentance, through prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word. And so just as Jesus calls to the disciples to make that journey with him to Jerusalem, so we are invited to journey through the season of Lent, a season in which we prepare for the celebration of Easter, but also a time in which we are called to reorient our lives to God, a time to honestly assess the state of our lives, to honestly look at the state of our relationship with God and what changes we're being called to make. For ultimately, I think Lent, increasingly I come to believe this, is a season of transformation, not one of punishment, not one of unworthiness. It's a call to be transformed. In the Transfiguration, we see that Jesus himself is transfigured. He is transformed. But I think that's actually not the point of the story. I think the ones transformed are the disciples. For their eyes are, if only for a moment, able to glimpse the resurrected, glorified Jesus. They see him differently than before they went up that mountain. I think that's our call, to have our eyes open, to glimpse Jesus in a new way, to allow ourselves to be transformed, to see Jesus more fully, and to more fully do the work he has given us to do. In our epistle this morning, Paul makes the point that we're called to reflect the glory of Jesus, that we are called to be changed, to even ourselves put on the glory of Jesus. Our epistle, he said this, And all of us with veiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. So Paul's telling us we are called to be changed. We are called to be changed into that very glory of Jesus, transformed into that divine life that God has in store for us. In our collect, that theme is also heard. We prayed that we might be changed into Jesus' likeness from glory into glory, that we are transformed evermore into the nature of Jesus, that we glow with Christ's radiance, and that we then reflect the glory of Jesus to the world. In our first lesson, Moses is reflecting God's glory. Moses has been on the mountaintop for 40 days and 40 nights with God. He has talked with God. He has been in deep relationship with God. And he's been given the two tablets of the law, that covenant, that relationship of covenant that God makes with the people. And Moses reflects God's glory because he has been in such deep relationship with God. It scares the people. He has to put a veil on his face. They can't handle seeing that glory. But we are called to, like Moses, reflect God's glory, to be transformed as the people of God, that the glory of Jesus may be seen in and through us. And that happens by answering that call to be in relationship with God, to allow ourselves to be transformed into the people that God calls us to be, to let God's light bathe us and infuse us and fill us, that we can't help but reflect God's glory to all those we encounter, that we can't help but glow with the light of God's love. And so on these final days before Lent begins, as we move towards Ash Wednesday, as we move towards that Ash Wednesday liturgy when we're going to be invited to keep a holy Lent, I encourage you to take time to honestly look at your life, time honestly in prayer to ask God, how am I being called to keep a holy Lent? And some questions that I will be asking that may be helpful to you are things like, what am I being called to do to deepen my relationship with God? What am I being called to let go of, to stop doing, or in that old language, to give up for 40 days? What are the things that are impediments to my relationship with God that I need to get rid of for a time or maybe permanently? What will deepen my relationship with God, my neighbor, and myself? Jesus desires to share his divine life with us until we glow with the radiance of his glory, until we are raised into the divine life of the Trinity. May we answer this call by setting out on this journey, the one that lies before us during this coming season of Lent. May we accept the invitation to a holy Lent, living intentionally, both to prepare ourselves to celebrate the joy of Easter, but that so we can glimpse those moments of the divine life, those moments that anticipate the life to which we are called for eternity. In our gospel, that voice that comes from the cloud says to the disciples, listen to him, listen to Jesus. I invite you on this day to listen. To listen to Jesus and to his call to you, as I will listen to his call to me, that together we might accept the glory that he desires to share with us. Amen.